When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Well, this sure is AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time. You ask, we answer questions from social media, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line.
Ask Me Anything is brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly, rise with us.
As we broadcast today from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, it is, of course, the Birds at the Half, benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation. A portion of the proceeds of all the crab fries sold today will be donated to the Travis Manion Foundation. Please come on out if you can. We're broadcasting right now at the South Philly Chickies, and the station will be broadcasting through 7 p.m. tonight. All the shows through 7 p.m. So going on out here. All right, Seltzer, I know you got questions that have come in on social media, but I have the first question of AMA. Just because every once in a while, James, I retain the right to
you
say.
You do, yeah.
I have the first question.
Yes.
Who did we, and we should have, not wish a happy anniversary to yesterday? And it's not Ron Artest, Steven Jackson, Jermaine O'Neal, and the Malice of the Palace. Whose 25th wedding anniversary was it yesterday?
November 19th.
25th wedding anniversary yesterday. Happy anniversary to Mrs. Wechter and to Joe Wechter.
How about it?
Hey. Joe Wechter.
Made it 25 years, huh?
Congratulations. But a quarter of a century.
That's
amazing.
That's impressive, man.
That's really.
That's real deal right
well
there.
Well done, Joe.
I'm surprised he still puts up with me.
I am too.
Someday,
I'm surprised
Joe.
We do, much less her, right?
Joe, is that why you shaved the flower off?
Yes.
I've been pressuring Joe to grow out his beard and hair at the same length for quite some time.
There you go. Mm. All right, Joe, good stuff, bud. Yep. Better stuff by Mrs.
Thanks.
Wechter. All right, Seltzer, what do you got here? Let's do a couple questions.
All right, with the holidays coming up, what is the next jersey I should buy for my son? He is a fan of all four teams. That's a great question. We got some great rookies right now,
yep.
By the way. Some exciting rookies you can get in early.
All right, so you got Maxey, you got Quinion,
you got
Mishkov.
You got McCain, you got Cooper, you got Painter coming
McCain
up.
McCain is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
McCain is and the number 20.
You got Jalen Hurts.
I noticed the number 20
Philly
for McCain.
Is pretty good.
It's such a wholesome, strong Philly jersey number. Seriously.
Oh, it's Dawk and Schmitty.
Well, that's what I said. It's huge in Philly sports. Yeah.
And now you got a strong NBA jersey with that number. I love it. I thought to myself when I saw that he was 20, registered in my mind, I was certain that's my next jersey.
Look, I haven't thought about it till now. I don't know. I would probably.
I would steer away from Embiid.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a feeling on that
one.
I
don't think you can get a Sixers jersey right now, though, is the problem with the McCain thing. You know what I mean? It's just like, I think you go Quinion.
I do understand that.
Well, the other problem with the Sixers jersey, not everyone's built like me, like a
big, physically
strong guy.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You
don't have those big
guy.
Arms that you can show off.
Yeah,
that,
so some people would be afraid to go around in a Sixers jersey.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. You're swole.
So get yourself an Eagles jersey.
Like Allen Iverson would say. You're swole up.
If it's a football jersey, Quinion is an outstanding choice because you know he's going to be a hallmark. Like
that's why I think Quinion is a strong move.
Very strong. Very strong. James, let's do one more question.
Okay. Thanksgiving coming up. Do you guys have any Thanksgiving traditions?
Yeah, to eat and watch football.
Nailed it.
I'll give you one. I started this about 4 or 5 years ago on an annual basis. I sit there after or before eating at some point. I sit on a couch while watching football and I text 100 to 200 people.
Wow.
And I just say happy Thanksgiving to people I typically don't connect with. And I also make a point of emphasis to text people who have lost a family member in the past 12 months because I know it's their first Thanksgiving without a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister. I've been through that a couple times. And so I just think it's a nice thing to do to reach out
to
people. I'm thinking
that's wholesome right there.
I try to do that.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That is really nice.
You're good at reaching out to people.
Well, I try.
Yeah, no, you do. You have to try
it's
to
important.
Do that. I agree.
Look, as someone who's gone through tragedy, I know it helped me when people reached out to
100%
me. So I try
agree with
to
that.
I try to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, my tradition is sort of tragic, actually, in a weird way. My tradition is we have gone out we've gone out to eat for Thanksgiving for the last several years. Yeah, because it became me and three kids.
You weren't cooking a big Thanksgiving.
It was like, how am I supposed to do this?
Them
I
don't everywhere, know. Much less
yeah,
to cook.
Right. So it has been, you know, lately we it's awesome. It's a new tradition, but that's what we do. We know where we're going.
But now you got the girlfriend, John.
And maybe that'll change. Maybe
new tradition
that'll
this year.
Change.
Well done. All right.
Hopefully.
AMA with that, we shut it down.
Ask Me Anything with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
All right, we never shut it down when we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's, and particularly when we are joined by the venerable Reuben Frank. We got a maybe special Eagles season brewing. He's seen his share through the years. Reuben, good morning, pal.
How you guys doing?
Well.
Nice use of venerable, by
I
the
mean,
way.
He is.
No, I agree.
I appreciate
it. He's venerable.
It's
Reuben
good.
Didn't like a couple years ago, and I used to say he's covered it all over the last 30, 40 years. He's like, you're calling me old. I'm like, no, I'm saying you're venerable in a different way.
I like venerable.
But, Rube, this squad has a shot for special. They have put themselves in position and striking distance. You know, one of the things, Rube, we were asking right off the top today, are they definitely great? Because we knew at this stage of 04, 17, and 22, they were great. They only won the Super Bowl one of those 3 years, but they got there all three. There was no question that they were going to be knocking on the door at the end of the year and maybe would get it. I don't think this team's that level. You don't have to be that level to be great. Reuben, is this team great?
I'm not ready to go there yet, and I look at who they've beaten, and they beat the teams on their schedule, but, you know, you look at the Lions, they've beaten five, they're 5-0 against winning teams, and you look at the Bills go out and beat the Chiefs. The Eagles don't have a signature win like that. Washington has a winning record, but they're kind of trending downward, and you look at the you know, Giants and Browns and Jaguars and some of these teams they beat, and it's great that they did it, and they did it in most of them in commanding fashion. But until this team beats, you know, whoever it is, whether it's Pittsburgh, Ravens, even the Rams out there this Sunday night, I just think I'm not ready to go there until I see them play really well against a good team.
What are the parts of the team or parts of the team that hold you back from thinking they've achieved that yet?
Consistency from Jalen is number one. Not sure about the pass rush yet. They've had ups and downs. I think the offense, I need to see that the offense, the passing offense, can make big plays consistently when the running game's not there. We haven't seen that yet. At some point, they're going to have to do that. You can't win deep in the playoffs running the ball. You're going to have to make against good teams a lot of plays throwing it. I'm just not sure they're there.
All right, Reuben with us here. Reuben will be with us, and God bless you, Reuben, for the next 2 hours. I don't know why you buckled up for this one here, but you sure about this? I mean, you're going to be fielding phone calls and hanging with Richie for 2 hours?
Can I get out of it? Is it too late?
Hey, Joel's trying to maybe get out of it. 215-592-9494. All right, Root, for the next couple hours, your phone calls on the Eagles. Answer that question. Are they definitely great? Obviously, the Joel thing is totally on the table. So, too, is your chance to win a cool prize. We'll tell you how next. And also, some of the audio from what Shams said yesterday about the Joel situation. We'll get to that and more as we broadcast from Chickies and Pete's this morning. Great to be with you on a Wednesday morning on 94WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, of course, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. You know, they've got you covered with the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. That's right, the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. Now, every Wednesday, that's today, you can parlay a profit boost on everything from point spreads to over-under and even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage on this, a Wednesday, a hump day, with the Hump Day Parlay Reward Stack, and who knows, much has become, if you win, and win big, your favorite day. So look for that Hump Day Parlay Reward Stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. Of course, if you're new to FanDuel, or if you're not new to FanDuel, get yourself there at this website, FanDuel.com/hammer. It's FanDuel.com/hammer. You can bet tonight's pro hockey game, tonight's pro basketball game, or look ahead to Sunday with Philadelphia and Los Angeles in another NFL game. It's all available there for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
Let's talk about the holiday gift that she really needs this year. Not a new household appliance, not another gift certificate she forgets about and then it expires. What she really needs is at Benari Jewelers, a wardrobe of jewelry. Things she can wear every day, from the grocery store and gym to those romantic date nights and special occasions. Like those coveted tennis bracelets, dazzling diamond stud earrings, or maybe colored gemstones set in a stunning pendant. You'll find it all under one roof when you go to Benari Jewelers. You'll be so impressed by both the quality and quantity of jewelry they have available for you. And the staff there is incredibly welcoming. They'll answer all your questions and help you pick out the perfect piece. Benari Jewelers, the area's largest selection and latest designs from the world's premier designers. Benari Jewelers, two locations, Exton and Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
Brought to you by MHS Lift. Sixers at Memphis tonight. They're off to a brutal 2-11 start. Amidst word from ESPN, Tyrese Maxey challenged Joel Embiid to be on time for team activities, calling him out for being late to everything. Shams Charania reporting Embiid accepted the message but stated he's sometimes confused about what the Sixers are trying to execute on the court. Maxey, Embiid, and Paul George might be on the court at the same time tonight. Maxey questionable, upgraded to questionable. He's missed several games with a hamstring injury. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, or any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to MHSLift.com. Weather brought to you by Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Mix of sun and clouds, early high 63, currently 54. Test your luck and try to beat the book at Borgata. Over 15,000 in weekly prizes. Visit theborgata.com for details. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Out on a big Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. We'll see if the Eagles are waving that Super Bowl flag at the end of the year. They got a shot.
Or if the Sixers capture that Cooper flag at the end of the year. How about that?
Or if the Sixers wave the white flag.
There you go. Well, I think one would go with the other.
I'm
right?
Well aware.
The white flag to get the Cooper flag.
Well aware. Hey, we're broadcasting from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Of course, we appreciate when you listen to us. But we also want to encourage you to be here today if you can, not just for our show, but any of the shows through 7 o'clock tonight that we'll broadcast from the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's. You can also tailgate at Terminal E tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m., right around this time tomorrow morning, with Elliott Shore Parks at the Chickies in Terminal E of the airport, and get your free Bud Light Eagle shirts while supplies last. I will remind you, 6 o'clock tonight is when Celebrity Bartending here begins, from 6 to 8, and it will feature Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata. Charitable heart as those guys donate their time. Of course, so much of what we're doing today is to benefit the phenomenal Travis Mannion Foundation. So very, very nice of Lane and Jordan to donate their time. And speaking of which, you know, when you talk about donating time and energy and effort and your stature, congratulations to Jalen Hurts. Really well done, as he's been doing. And yesterday made a big appearance on national TV to further the initiative he's been talking about to get air conditioners into area schools. That is no small matter. You know, there's a lot of schools that just don't have the proper, the air conditioners.
They missed days of school.
Clark went to public school, from kindergarten through eighth grade, and I would routinely get the messages, on any day that was over 90. Yeah. School's called at 11 o'clock. Please come get your kid.
And you might have been happy when you were a kid, but not as a parent.
No.
Not as a parent. So really well done by Jalen. And, of course, we got Ruben Frank with us here from NBC Sports Philadelphia, one of our own for many years at WIP. Rube, you know Jalen certainly better than we do. You've been around him a lot longer. We think we know a lot, but I also know there's a mystery element we don't know. What would you say makes Jalen tick? Football player, human being, what makes Jalen go?
Yeah, and that's intentional. He really works hard to foster that kind of mysterious persona. I think he likes it. I think he likes that people don't really know who he is, what he's all about. It's interesting because most quarterbacks we've had around here are so – I mean, Randall, you could just sit and talk to – Michael Vick, you sit and talk to these guys. Bobby Hoying, sit in his locker for an hour. Jalen's just got that aura of mystery, and he likes that I don't think anybody really knows him. I don't know how many of his teammates really know him. There's a couple guys he's close with, but I don't really know what he's all about other than football. He won't talk about it. He won't talk about anything. You know, we had a session with him. I think it was two off seasons ago where we all kind of a off the record informal chat with Jalen with about 12 beat writers. We couldn't get him to talk even then. It was off the record.
Why do you think that is? Is it Nick Saban? Did Nick Saban?
I think that's a big part of it. He's always referencing Bama, you know, when we were at
the
Bama.
The rat poison thing and all that. Yeah.
And the other Alabama guys are like that, too. I mean, you know, Landon Dick. Yeah, there's just like a mystery thing, and they're taught at an early age. When they get there, don't say anything. Don't let anybody get to know you. Don't give up yourself.
Is it inauthentic? Do you feel it's problematic?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. As long as he's getting along with his teammates and communicates with them, which I think he does fine, then I don't think it's an issue. I mean, I'd love to tell a story about who he really is. As a journalist, I'd love to get to know him and share that story, but that's not going to happen.
Well, I know. I appreciate the honesty. I mean, because there's some reporters who would half-ass an answer right there, and you're saying it's hard to answer it in great detail because even you, who's around him 500 times more than we are. I mean, you've been on the beat for years. Yeah, that's really interesting. All right, 215-592-9494. Amongst other things, as we assess today, are the Eagles a truly great team? And we'll break down the various aspects of the team, particularly with Ruben here with us for 2 hours. 9 o'clock today, Merrill Reese on slate at Chickies from 9 to 10. Mike Quick will join the program by phone at 845. Also, when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Post Malone at Citizens Bank Park. This is a concert happening in May of next year, May 24th. This is when you know time's moving. We're giving away tickets for May 24th, 2025. All right? Post Malone will be in town. Tickets on sale, by the way, November 26th at noon. Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. All right, here's how you win the tickets today. In addition to making a point about the Joel nonsense or, you know, what's going on with the Eagles, we will also signify that, if you don't know, yesterday was the 20th anniversary of one of the most wild things we ever saw in sports, and that was the Malice at the Palace. So Indiana and Detroit and that enormous brawl that broke out and ended a basketball game. It was near the end of the game, but it obviously ended
a couple team seasons as well.
It did. ended some players' seasons. Yeah. Almost ended Ron Artest's career.
Yeah.
Obviously one of the most wild things we've ever seen in sports. Today we'll ask you at 215-592-9494, what is the most wild? What is the craziest thing you know ever in sports? Now, let me just put this one sort of disclaimer out there. We're talking more Malice at the Palace type, not the stuff we hate, like baseball didn't have black players until Jackie Robinson. That's crazy in a stupid kind of way.
Or a player dying or something
we're not looking for something that's dark to that extent. And you know, we all get that and we all hate that kind of stuff. We're talking more, like, let me give an example. For those of you that don't know, and those of you older enough do know, but most young people don't know, final game ever played at Connie Mack Stadium, which was the Phillies ballpark prior to the vet. As soon as the final out happened, the final out, ninth inning, Connie Mack Stadium, last game ever played there before the Phillies moved to the vet, the crowd rushed the field and tore it apart. Like, I'm taking home plate. I'm taking first base. I'm grabbing dirt. I'm getting this chair. Like, they tore apart the stadium. The fans tore apart the stadium, which is, by the way, why when the Phillies closed the vet, they had security ready to go because they wanted to sell those seats or donate those seats and not have
mayhem. Do you have one?
Connie Mack was still in better shape than the vet when it opened.
That's right. I'm sure it was. All right. So give us something wild in sports. John, when you think of something wild in sports, and best answer, 215-592-9494. John, what do you got?
Well, watching Mike Tyson on Friday, yep, harkened back to the craziest thing I'd ever seen.
The bite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He bit his ear off.
Dude, that's a great answer, man. That's a great answer. Seltzer, what do you got here?
Can you imagine if, I'll just pick two random Phillies. Let's say Zach Wheeler and Bryson Stott decided to swap families. Because that actually happened with Mike Kekich and Fritz Peterson in the Yankees in the 1970s. They swap wives. They swap kids. They live the other's lives. What a crazy thing to happen.
Yeah, that's about the weirdest thing ever. What do you got as an answer here, Ray?
The craziest thing I ever saw, and Rube lived through this as well. Well, we all did. T.O., especially John. T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway.
T.O.'s a good... Rube, you were right.
I remember exactly where I was, and I remember the teammates I was with.
What did you think at the exact moment that you saw that? He's speechless.
Wow. Really. I was looking around at everyone else, and everyone else was exactly like me. Jaws were agape. I mean, there it was. He's doing sit-ups. We're all standing. It's the running backs. Yeah. We're standing in the same room. I got my Harry Potter book, my new Harry Potter book under my hand. And there's Terrell.
Crazy, man. All right, give us a big-time answer. This is for Post Malone tickets. Best answer for something wild in sports, something crazy. Whoever provides it's going to win the Post Malone tickets. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Rube here with us, fielding phone calls until 9 o'clock. Joe in Burlington right now. Joe, good morning.
Yo, guys, how are you?
Doing well, Joe.
I have a question for John. John, shoot. Yesterday, all you kept on saying there, Sirianni is a good coach because of the people that are around him. I have a question, and it's two parts. There would Andy Reid, would he be as good as he is without Spags, and would Dan Campbell be as good as he is without Ben Johnson?
Interesting.
No.
My answer on the weird thing, and then I'm going to hang up because I want to hear your answer.
Yeah, what's crazy in sports, Joe?
Would be the blackout on the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
That's a really good answer. That was the Ravens and the 49ers, and right. I think that lasted about a half hour.
It did, yeah.
Harbaugh versus Harbaugh.
Yeah, that was something. All right, John.
I'll hang up and listen, by the way. Yeah. Classic old-school WIP
sure,
move.
Sure is. So, John, what do you make of his question as it relates to Andy and other coaches?
Yes, they would be worse. But Dan Campbell would be a worse coach if Ben Johnson were not his offensive coordinator this year. Their offense is what makes the Lions so spectacular. Their offense, right now, if that Super Bowl were played, they would be the heavy favorite to win it all. Because Ben Johnson, he's been for 3 years now running that offense, and people have tried to pull him away to be their offensive coordinator or promote him to be their head coach or assistant head coach, all sorts of enticing lures thrown his way, but he wants to stay there and win a Super Bowl. So, that's the plan.
John, I actually, it's funny, the call, I know where the caller is getting at, and you addressed it, but I actually view it a different way. It doesn't necessarily mean that the head coach would be a lesser head coach. It means he'd be a less effective head coach, record-wise. But here's the thing.
But isn't that
one of the same? No, it's two different things. I mean, here's where I'll also split it further. Andy Reid, I am certain, hires his assistant coaches. We wonder if Nick Sirianni hires his assistant coaches. Ruben Frank, does Nick Sirianni, like, let's take Desai last year. You're out, Patricia, you're in. Sirianni said it was his call. Was it?
Well, you know, I think
because that call that doesn't happen to Andy.
Anybody,
no one tells Andy you're changing your coach.
Anybody would want to take credit for hiring Matt Patricia, right? Well, you know, it's interesting because I think when Andy's career, you know, when his success with the Eagles started declining a little, was when all those original coaches became head coaches. You know, whether it's Harbs and Spags and all those guys. So, I mean, it's huge surrounding yourself with the right people, but. No, I don't think Nick has had the first call on those guys, and he's got a say in it. He's got a voice in it, but I think Howie and Jeffrey are making those calls.
So, you know, from that standpoint, John, that's where to the caller, you know, the pushback is the infrastructure isn't necessarily Nick's doing. Whereas with Andy, really think of it this
way. Does it matter, though?
Yeah, it does. Here's why. Because Andy Reid hired Jim Johnson.
Right,
Andy Reid identified
but hold up. Does it matter if they're hiring the right guys, though? Like, Vic Fangio, we're all stoked he's here. Like, he's doing a great job. So does it really matter who hired Vic
Fangio as long as
the right hire?
Not for team success, but in my opinion, for the effectiveness of the coach as you evaluate him compared to others. Like, I view Andy Reid in a higher light.
But as long as you have someone doing the right job.
Well, I understand that.
Like, that's
all that matters. But that was John's point yesterday, that he's saying it's more about organizational infrastructure than Sirianni.
But yeah, I get that. But at the end of the day, who cares?
No.
As long as you have the right guys in place.
No, we don't care as fans of the team, but people care, John's an example, for the evaluation of how good really is Sirianni.
No, and it is a factor because I think we all know, and Rube, you know this, Andy's effectiveness here with the Eagles went down as he lost his key assistant.
Totally.
Well, of course.
I mean, it was,
yeah.
You know, so, I mean,
and
well, Nick's
a,
been
and,
better with
and
good
did
assistants,
a Andy did a horrible
Correct.
Job replacing them.
Correct.
Horrible job.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the replacements was McDermott, who he fired after 2 years.
Yeah.
But this is just about assigning blame, yeah. ultimately, or assigning
sure.
credit. At the end of the day, as long as the ship functions well and they work together,
well,
it doesn't really matter.
That's what we mostly care about, obviously.
And if you don't think that was on Sean McDermott's mind the other night.
Oh, I noticed that when he gave him that post-game handshake, I thought of it, Ruben, the whole time I thought of it.
He was
replacing
a legend
Andy
here.
Canned
he had
him.
No chance.
He canned him.
Yeah.
He canned him. And he hired somebody who was worse.
Well, way worse.
Yeah, he hired an offensive.
It was a disaster. I mean, could not have made a worse decision.
John, you remember where you were? I remember where I was when I got the phone call that Juan Castillo was. I was like, what?
I was on my way to a Villanova game. I was at Galifti's.
You needed to go back.
Galifti's is a classic.
See, I thought it was so. It was crazy, but maybe, just maybe, it was crazy like a fox.
Well, we all hoped that it was. Look, Andy Reid's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And so there was something to be said for maybe he's onto something.
I had to see.
But it
didn't
work. I
knew how hard Juan would work with this. And if anyone could make this happen, he could.
Look,
Juan was going to. I mean, he was talking football every second of every day to everyone who would listen in that building, out of the building. I mean, like driving to talking to the guy as the gate goes up and down as you're entering the parking lot. He loves Breeze, talks, you know. It was like if he was going to apply this thing that he loved, he was going to be able to
but
do
it, was
it.
Well, here, but
on
it,
but either
it
side
work.
Of the ball.
Yeah, it didn't work at
but
all.
But it failed.
All right, so let's also get to the Sixers thing because this is a major topic. So yesterday, obviously, it's reported by Shams that, you know, the post-game meeting, what it was 2 days ago, just, well, let's listen to Shams specifically as he addresses it, as he did yesterday on ESPN. Here's Shams talking about the Embiid situation.
Last night, they had an hour and a half long team meeting in that post-game locker room in Miami. And I think a lot was said, a lot was accepted, a lot was aired out. Coaches saying we need players to practice harder, show more attention to detail. Players saying we need to be coached harder. We want to be coached harder.
Uh-oh.
But most notable of all that, Pat, I was told Tyrese Maxey, the 24-year-old young star, he challenged Joel Embiid, the face of the franchise, the former league MVP, that we need you to be on time for team activities. And that there's a trickle-down effect. When you are missing, when you are tardy, when you are late, for what I was told, everything was the line. It has an effect on the rest of the locker room, the rest of the players, the coaching staff.
All right, that's Shams on ESPN yesterday. Now, before we react specifically to that, I want to play some audio from 2 nights ago because after that meeting occurred, Joel Embiid addressed the meeting with the media post game about an hour after the game in the Sixers locker room. We didn't like his answer yesterday. To me, it shines even in worse light now, given what we found out that meeting was largely about. Let's listen to Joel 2 days ago when he addressed the meeting after it had just happened.
Joel, I mean, obviously Nick told us about the meeting, I guess, without going into the specifics of it. I guess, was it an awesome meeting for you guys?
Oh, we had a meeting? No.
Now, let me tell you this. I can understand and said yesterday, he may not have wanted to go into any detail because he was probably told, hey, guys, we're not going into detail about the meeting. And I can respect that. I don't still like the way he handled it, though.
He could have said, that stays in-house.
Right.
Everyone knows they had a meeting. Like, they were missing for an hour and a half or whatever.
It's another example of him not being
totally
a pro.
Totally.
Not
Absolutely.
Being a pro.
It's an immature answer.
Totally
exactly.
Mature. And here's my theory. Because I know a lot was made yesterday after the reality of Maxey challenging Embiid and calling him out came into focus. A lot of people said, well, it's not proper that this information got out. And in most instances, it wouldn't be. My theory is the information got out, whomever it came from, a player, a coach, an assistant coach,
clutch,
a team staffer, the team's PR, whomever. My theory is it made its way to Shams because the organization or someone in it recognized Joel didn't get the message.
No.
And they're trying to publicly shame him and put it out there to the world. So it's another attempt to get through to Joel Embiid. Does that theory ring true to you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. I believe that must be what happened.
Because otherwise, the information, John, should never get out.
Or should never get out. I mean, or it's Tyrese Maxey and Clutch saying Joel didn't listen. One way or another.
But I don't think Maxey would do that.
I think Clutch would do that.
Clutch might, but I'll tell you this.
Especially with Clutch and Embiid have battled in the
past.
But
if Clutch did it without Maxey's approval,
I
would be irate.
They might have said, hey, Tyrese, we want to put this out there.
Well, then that's Tyrese authorizing.
Either way, I do think it's someone in the organization, player or coach, saying he didn't listen. We need this.
There's been no clapback from the team on this.
Zero.
Which, so, you know, to me, you know, anybody who thinks that that's the number one issue with what happened with that meeting,
no question,
is ridiculous.
No question.
The issue is Tyrese is a guy. I remember Doc Rivers saying like it was the day after the season ended again in a playoff loss. And Maxey was like in the gym at 5 a.m. He threw him out of the gym and said, you need to go take a couple days off. This guy understood. He's made himself from what people didn't think would be a great pro to a guy who just earned a massive contract.
Totally.
And he's watching a guy who has all of the natural ability in the world. Zero work ethic. Can't even show up. I have no respect for people who don't show up on time.
Yeah.
It is something that bothers me to no end. And it's what you control.
I totally agree. Look, it's a disgrace. We'll take your thoughts, your phone calls on this massive topic in Philadelphia sports. I mean, one of the things that hit me yesterday is I feel like yesterday might have signified the beginning of the end of Embiid in Philly. Whether it's in a month, whether it's after this season, it just... Now, look, there's an argument they keep him in part because when healthy, he's one of the best players. And also in part to try to get the him and Paul George and Maxey thing going. And also in part because they're trying to build an arena. And it may be a lot harder to convince the populace to do so if you have, you know, three first-round draft picks instead of Joel Embiid. So there's a lot of arguments both ways. But at least to today's Twitter poll questions of the day, both of which are brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox that sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive Armin Chevrolet. First poll question, do you think the 76ers should try to trade Joel Embiid immediately? Yes or no? I have no doubt that this answer will be more yes than no at a higher level than it ever would have been during Joel's tenure here. I mean, I think yesterday might have finally tipped people to the yes category, certainly more than it had been, maybe above 50%. Second poll question, do you think this will be Joel Embiid's last season with the Sixers? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter, and certainly you can weigh in on the phone lines on all of this, as we are also discussing the Eagles, you know, halfway through, what we hope is halfway through the year. Because if they get to the Super Bowl courtesy of a bye in the playoffs, they'll play 20 total games this year, and the 10 games they played would be the halfway. And that's why we feel justified from Chickies and Pete's this morning calling this Birds at the half. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to LeVert right now on Erie Avenue.
Oh, great.
LeVert.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
Nothing, man. It's a great morning besides the Embiid fiasco.
Yeah.
That information should have probably never got out, but it's good that it did.
Well, that might be, but LeVert, that's probably why it did. That's my theory. That's why it got out, because they wanted to further get to him.
Tyrese is keeping it real, though, and that's awesome. That's awesome to know that he's like that.
Yeah, well, if anybody could say it, it was Tyrese.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got on the Eagles, LeVert?
Okay, the Eagles, Jalen, man, he is the man on and off the field. Thank you to Jalen is going out and giving air conditioners to the public.
Yeah, it's
to
good
the
work.
Schools, that's a great thing, man.
It's a tremendous
He's a great
thing.
Guy.
Yeah, it's a really good. It's a really good thing.
My hero.
I love it. LeVert, give me an answer. What's wild in sports? Like the malice at the Palace, what was wild?
That's how you just said it, man. Come on. Why'd you do that to me? That
well,
was
it's based
answer,
on
bro.
It. It's based on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because I referenced it.
It was the whole reason we did it.
All right. I'll write it down. He wants that answer. It's already been said. But
can't win.
It was the 20th anniversary yesterday, and that's what spurred this conversation. Let's get to Bryce in Wilmington. Bryce, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Bryce.
Yeah, so I wanted to hop in on the Eagles talk. I'm kind of with you, Joe, where I think they're, like, right under the great mark. Just because
like you said, they just seem to start so slow. Like I texted my buddy the other day, and it's just like it just seems like we can never win a game like the Lions do. Like we beat the Bengals pretty good and the Cowboys and all, but it always seems like it happens late. And it's like you're worrying for three quarters of the game, and then they turn it on.
Look, here's the thing I'll say, Bryce, on the flip side. They have a tremendous knack of figuring it out in-game and having players that are mentally composed to not lose their head in the midst of struggles. And there's something to be said for gutting out wins.
Resilient.
Which, yeah, I mean, they're phenomenal at that. But, Bryce, to your point, it's just, I'll say this, hard to imagine they go the distance this year doing it that way. Not impossible.
Now, to be fair, I mean,
but tough.
I know it happens late, but to Bryce mentioned, but they have blown some teams out. Like, it's not like, you look at, like, the Chiefs, every single
it's
game
all been
they
in the
played
second
is
half,
close.
Though. I mean,
it has been, but they've still won games by 20-plus points.
They have, teams. Against good teams, well, I just don't think that formula is going to work.
I agree, Rube.
They should have been up 33-10 on Washington in the fourth quarter if Jake Elliott makes his kicks.
No,
33-10. I know they weren't, but Jake Elliott, like.
No, I trust Elliott. I get your point there.
That's my point.
But I also will tell you this, James. I'm still not convinced Washington's really
I don't think they're
good.
great, but the point is you can only beat the teams you
good,
face.
Though.
I think they're pretty good.
I think the Buccaneers are pretty good, and
the game I'm looking forward to is the Ravens game. It's not even the Rams game. It's the Ravens game. It's in a couple weeks. They are either a heavyweight or a borderline heavyweight, and we'll see what the Eagles have. Bryce, give me an answer here for what was wild in sports.
Well, real quick, one more thing. As far as the NFC, the good thing in our favor, I think, is there's really only one or two teams that I think could give us trouble, and it's the Lions. And for some reason, it's the Packers for me. I don't know. But with those early game struggles against a team like the Lions, that just won't get it done because they're going to keep putting points up if we
well
can.
Not unless the Eagles defense is so legit that they hold the Lions down. I mean, that's the other part of this formula of the offense starting slow. That typically, like, the Eagles are never behind by 14 points because the defense never permits it. So, you know, maybe the defense can hang in there against the Lions if the offense starts slow, but that's a harder challenge.
Turnovers change everything.
Well,
can
for
be
sure.
A
also, I don't think they'll get the one seed, but the one seed is actually pretty important outside of the bye.
It's very important.
Outside of the bye, in that Jared Goff is a very different quarterback outdoors in the cold than he is in a dome. Very different.
That makes sense. Bryce, an answer for what was wild in sports.
How about the earthquake that happened at the World Series?
Wow, that could
great
win.
Answer.
That's
great
a big
answer.
One. Earthquake 89.
Great answer.
They're in the middle talking, and the broadcast just went black.
I'll never forget
God.
It.
Yeah. What an incredible answer that is. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, I want to express my thanks to the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation for asking me last night to be the MC of their banquet. It was a tremendous evening. As we honored Jim Gardner, we honored the 2017 Eagles. Nick Foles was in town. It really was a very, very, very special night, and I was thrilled to be a part of it. And I want to thank the foundation for asking me.
Well, you
got to
give us more than that.
That's a great cause.
Yeah, you got to give us more than that. I mean, you said the whole Philly Special crew was going to be there. You know, you said Jim Gardner's freaking
right
there. Like, give us a story or two.
All right. First off, Jim Gardner's speech was exceptional.
That's awesome.
And he largely began it, first minute or two, his reverence for Dick Vermeil, and I was seated right between them. So Jim Gardner was right to my right while I was speaking, and Dick Vermeil was two over for me on the dais. And I'm looking at Jim Gardner, looking at Dick Vermeil with such admiration, and he began by saying, obviously in my 40 years here, 40-plus years, I've met, you know, just about all the notable players, politicians, you know, coaches, business leaders. He said, the person I most wanted to meet that I had never met, Dick, was you, Dick Vermeil.
Wow.
And so he expressed his appreciation for the moment.
Wow.
It was really something. It was powerful. There was so much, James. I mean, Foles being back in town, obviously. Corey Clement. So there was a sequence for about 15 minutes. The four that were involved in the Philly Special, not those that blocked, but the four that touched the ball.
That touched the ball.
It went from Kelsey to Corey Clement, to Trey Burton, to Nick Foles. Those four at one point were on stage for about 15 minutes, broke down every nuance
wow,
of the play.
Wow, that's so cool.
They broke it all down.
Wow.
You know, how it came into being, the whole – I mean, it was amazing. By the way, it was funny. Foles was giving Kelsey a hard time for his snaps. If you guys remember, Kelsey,
back
as Foles
the,
said
oh, – yeah.
Here's what Foles said. best center ever, worst snapper ever.
Oh, yeah, he's right? Adventurous.
Wow. Rube, his snaps were like, they were like Mitch Williams in October of 93.
They were an adventure.
You didn't know where it was going.
Out of nowhere, too. It'd be right? Like fine, and then all of a sudden, like, it'd be like way over there.
But it was cool. And again, you know what the other thing is? I mean, there's a lot I could say, but the turnout from former Eagles was notable. So, for instance, Harold Carmichael, who's right there on the board of the Otho Davis Foundation. You know, Ike was there, always there to support it. Freddie Mitchell was there last night. You know, from the 80 team, Keith Kreffley, who caught the first touchdown the Eagles ever had in a Super Bowl. Seth Joyner was there last night. Jaws was there. Randy Logan, Mike Quick. I mean, I go on and on. Kelsey was there. Avant was there. Brian Westbrook, Connor Barwin. I mean, this was an overflowing. Jim Murray, the 80 Eagles general manager. Malcolm Jenkins was there last night. On and on and on and on and on I could go. It was a special evening. If you ever get a chance in a future year, I would very much, especially you, John. God, John, everybody asks for you. They always ask for, where's John? So next year, think about it. By the way, tomorrow on the show, of course, Kelsey at 7:30, but overlapping with Jason, and then thereafter, 8 o'clock in studio with us, Corey Clement.
Wow.
Nice. Amazing.
That's awesome.
And he is a very personable, dude. It was a thrill for me to meet him last night. So tomorrow, Corey Clement in studio with us, starting at 8 o'clock, and we'll have a great time with him.
Wow.
What a running back room that was, Ruben. Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, Sproles before he got injured, and, of course, LeGarrette Blount. What a group.
Don't forget Wendell Smallwood. And
But
that group had 272 scrimmage yards, the running backs in the Super Bowl. And they don't win that game without that group. Without
it was an amazing.
They don't get to that game.
And Corey is an undrafted free agent. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons how he deserves credit. And of course, that might have been Joe Douglas, who knows who first identified him. But they identified him to Corey's credit. He had a great training camp that made a not easy to make team.
No, you
not
remember
easy to
the
make
role
that
he grew into. That's a very advanced role.
Third downs
to be that. Back the third down back, that means that you're tied into all those protections, all those third down protection schemes. They're placing all that faith in you.
And he didn't catch a lot of passes during the season. I mean, that game was an anomaly in his career, and he had two of the biggest plays in that game.
Oh,
I mean, the touchdown we talk about, but without that long
50-yard catch,
55-yard catch and run, there's no Philly special.
You know what he
also was wide receiver like skill.
It was
catching that touchdown. That was a wide receiver touchdown catch
was
by a rookie running back.
A rookie undrafted.
Undrafted. It really is.
And he never had another catch over like 18 yards.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In his life.
You know how much harder it is.
Thing, you know?
Guys, it is so much harder to catch a ball that's, I don't know, 40 yards downfield than it is 10 yards downfield.
But you got to track
and
it.
And all he practices is the 10-yard variety. You're a running back. That's all you practice. If you've ever caught a ball like that touchdown he caught in the end zone in the Super Bowl, it's maybe one out of 1,000 chances, one out of 1,000
and it was
reps.
So close to him not having possession.
Oh man,
yeah. It was right on the edge.
Unlikely.
What, by the way, what a throw too. I mean, Foles right in the box.
All right, so great stuff with those guys last night. Tomorrow, Corey Clement, who we've never had on the show,
great guy,
will be. He really my interactions with him over about 10 minutes last night seemed like a wonderful person. So Corey in studio with us tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock. He'll be fielding phone calls. And we'll have a blast with Corey Clement in studio. 215-592-9494. We broadcast today from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Our home base is a radio station up through 7 o'clock with the shows tonight. 8 o'clock when you extend it for the extra hour of celebrity bartending, which goes from 6 to 8. So join us tonight for that celebrity bartending, 6 to 8, and join Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulatto, who will be here as they donate their time all to help support the cause of benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Let's talk to Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. How is everyone?
Doing well, Mike.
Doing great, buddy.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Joe, I'm going to start to call you, get with the program, Joe, because I got two problems with you this morning.
Wait, what do you got a problem with me?
Because you know what, Joe? I mean, the whole world sees it. Again, I wanted to talk birds, but you know, I got to come back to this Embiid thing. The guy that doesn't even like this, but I got to come back to this. The whole world sees that this guy is just an anchor. Not a good anchor. This guy's just bringing this franchise to the bottom. He's got no accountability. you know, God bless Mackey.
Like, let me just say this for those.
Yeah,
Joe,
why are you
in.
Defending Embiid?
Yeah, I'm not defending Embiid. I'm not defending Embiid. I am of the mindset, however, to try to hopefully get him healthy in the next 2 weeks and see what these guys can do together if he's healthy.
He's
Mike, hang on. I totally acknowledge that they will probably not win a championship with Joel Embiid. I want to state that right now, and I've said that for the last year or two. They probably won't, but I'm not ready to throw in the towel at this exact moment. I'm not, and part of it, Mike, is I still think they'll get a bigger haul than James and Rhea think they'll get when they trade him. I do. Now, I know it's getting slippery slope here because of the injury. I do not deny that. And it might be that they miss out on five first-round picks and three pick swaps, and it turns into 2-2. I acknowledge that possibility. But I know James Harden was a bum here. They got two first-round picks for him. Mikal Bridges is a good player, not a truly great one. The Knicks gave up five first-round draft picks for Mikal Bridges. So if the Sixers rehabilitate Embiid and get him healthy and then trade him, I still think they'll get a minimum of four first-round draft picks and three swaps.
But, Joe, don't you think the word's out on him around the league?
Of course it is.
Because no matter what you heard from people at the Olympics, there were also people at the Olympics who didn't think he'd try hard. Now you have the preeminent reporter who gets the story with Maxi, who's very respected.
I get it.
Saying he's not showing up on time. The guy didn't show up. I don't want to hear about the injury. He's not in shape, okay?
Clearly.
So you have a guy who can't be bothered to show up on time, be in shape, and be available. I mean, it's, you know.
I know.
You think you're going to get a haul for that guy?
I do. Oof. I do think they will. But Mike, go ahead.
No, you're going to get – listen, you should change his name. You should start to call him Joel Maybe, because that's all he is. He's a maybe. Everything is couched with
yeah, but Mike, we got like 10 different Embiid's conversation
I think
here.
It's just, more like probably
just,
not.
Just Mike, probably. Just know this. You couldn't be more of a zero than Ben Simmons. They got James Harden.
Oh, well there's a high bar.
Well, but you get the point, like – believe me, I am incredibly aggravated and disgusted. I just reject the notion that they will get very little for him whenever they trade him. I think they will get more than you guys are thinking. That's what
addition
I'm saying.
Addition by subtraction.
The
right
thing
here.
About it, you know, it's not like he has a knee injury. I mean, he just has bad knees, and yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to get. I mean, they're not going to get better.
Well,
he's not going to get better.
No. He probably won't.
He's always going to have bad knees. He's always going to miss games. It's not like he's got, you know, a little injury. It's going to
sure.
get better.
He's never going to take care of himself. He's never going to work out. Yeah. He's never like he's just 31. He's never.
All right, Mike, give me an
he's
answer here. What,
anymore.
Mike? What was wild in sports? Give me the best answer ever. What was wild?
1979, the White Sox, the Detroit Lions, and the only Comiskey Park was Disco Demolition Night.
That is a great answer. John, what's your answer on the Embiid thing? You hear the tug of war going on here at this table. Where do you stand on all that? Beyond just the disgust, like what to actually do if you're the Sixers. What do you do, John?
I think the bottom line, what we've all come to feel in the pit of our stomachs, the truth, is that he's not the crowning achievement of success, the cherry on the top of the process.
Clearly
that we
not.
Thought was that would be the, you know, the
well,
next
and also
logical
that's required.
Step
see, one
toward
thing that,
the
what,
championship that we all yeah. thought was right at the doorstep.
Here's one thing
that championship is much farther than we thought.
Yeah.
And because we know that he can't do this physically. And we're aware of that now.
You ready to trade him?
I am. And I am willing to take whatever that nets us. The youth movement, I love Tyrese. I love McCain. I worry about their overlap. But, hey, let's just have a positive outlook and attitude and work hard as a group and see where that gets us.
Yeah, look, it's to be considered. I mean, I totally get it. And maybe by the end of the show we'll find out more than 50% of people want to trade him. I get it, guys. I'm not ignorant to the realities of why people make the points they do. I get
They're
it.
Not fun to watch.
I totally get that.
It's literally, I consider it homework watching them because I got to watch them for this show.
But I will say, I think Sheil is underrating how not fun to watch Maxey and
McCain
will be. Like, last year without Joel, they were
Oh,
whatever.
No, they were still terrible.
They couldn't win.
But,
and this year without whomever, they couldn't win with the new guy. Like, they will probably, if they don't have Joel Embiid playing and playing well, they're probably a 25-win team.
Let's not act like that's fun. I don't disagree with you.
For Cooper Flagg, and then they might not be bad enough for that chance.
What I was about to say is I sat down last night and watched the Celtics and the Cavs game.
Yep.
And I mean, and the Celtics went off at the end of the second quarter with like a million threes. And the Cavs, but I was watching enjoyable basketball.
I understand.
It was like, I was like, oh, I kind of forgot what this was like.
I guess my point is if you trade Joel to get back to be a top two team in the East, which those two teams are, it might take you 6 years. It might take you 10 years. Like, my point is,
it shouldn't take you that long.
It should take a long time.
It should not. It's other, very hard. Other teams have done it quicker.
Yeah, but it often takes 4 to 8 years.
Needs a better general manager than we have.
Probably true.
You're not going to get Jerry McCain, though, for what it's worth. And I'm not, Daryl Morey needs to be here and show up and stuff, but he did draft Jerry McCain.
That's the thing. You need to find an adult, James.
He's a disgrace for not speaking. It's bad.
But his moves have not been as bad.
Well, some have been. I mean, it looks like the bench he put together, other than McCain's a disaster.
But a guy like McCain is
what you need. You need to hit on guys like that. Find unlikely stars. He's going to be an unlikely star.
Maybe. Let's capitalize on that.
All right, 215-592-9494. So you can weigh in on the Sixers. Also, a reminder, your chance today to win Post Malone tickets. We're looking for what was wild in sports on this, the 20th anniversary week of that Malice at the Palace big brawl back in 2004. And, of course, our main thing today, it's the Birds at the Half. 10 games into the season. We hope it's a 20-game season all the way to the Super Bowl. We hope they get the bye, and, you know, 8-2 is a great record. So Ruben Frank with us, and will be for another hour, 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today away from the Tasty Cakes studio. We're at Cheeky's and Pete's. We love being here. It always signifies a special show. Out on a big Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. We'll see if the Eagles are waving that Super Bowl flag at the end of the year. They got a shot.
Or if the Sixers capture that Cooper flag at the end of the year. How about that?
Or if the Sixers wave the white flag.
There you go. Well, I think one would go with the other.
I'm well aware.
The white flag to get the Cooper flag.
Well aware. Hey, we're broadcasting from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Of course, we appreciate when you listen to us. But we also want to encourage you to be here today if you can. Not just for our show, but any of the shows through 7 o'clock tonight that we'll broadcast from the South Philadelphia Chickies and Pete's. You can also tailgate at Terminal E tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m., right around this time tomorrow morning, with Elliot Shore Parks at the Chickies in Terminal E of the airport. And get your free Bud Light Eagle shirts while supplies last. I will remind you, 6 o'clock tonight is when Celebrity Bartending here begins, from 6 to 8, and it will feature Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulata. Charitable heart, as those guys donate their time. Of course, so much of what we're doing today is to benefit the phenomenal Travis Mannion Foundation. So very, very nice of Lane and Jordan to donate their time. And speaking of which, you know, when you talk about donating time and energy and effort and your stature, congratulations to Jalen Hurts. Really well done, as he's been doing. And yesterday made a big appearance on national TV to further the initiative he's been talking about to get air conditioners into area schools. That is no small matter. You know, there's a lot of schools that just don't have the proper, the air conditioners.
They missed days of school.
Clark went to public school, from kindergarten through eighth grade, and I would routinely get the messages, on any day that was over 90. Yeah. School's called at 11 o'clock. Please come get your kid.
And you might have been happy when you were a kid, but not as a parent.
No.
Not as a parent. So really well done by Jalen. And, of course, we got Ruben Frank with us here from NBC Sports Philadelphia, one of our own for many years at WIP. Rube, you know Jalen certainly better than we do. You've been around him a lot longer. We think we know a lot, but I also know there's a mystery element we don't know. What would you say makes Jalen tick? Football player, human being, what makes Jalen go?
Yeah, and that's intentional. He really works hard to foster that kind of mysterious persona. I think he likes it. I think he likes that people don't really know who he is, what he's all about. It's interesting because most quarterbacks we've had around here are so, I mean, Randall, you could just sit and talk to Michael Vick. You sit and talk to these guys. Bobby Hoying, sit in his locker for an hour. Jalen's just got that aura of mystery, and he likes that. I don't think anybody really knows him. I don't know how many of his teammates really know him. There's a couple guys he's close with, but I don't really know what he's all about other than football. He won't talk about it. He won't talk about anything. You know, we had a session with him. I think it was two off seasons ago where we all kind of a off the record informal chat with Jalen with about 12 beat writers. We couldn't get him to talk even then. It was off the record.
Why do you think that is? Is it Nick Saban? Did Nick Saban?
I think that's a big part of it. He's always referencing Bama, you know, when we were at
the
Bama.
The rat poison thing and all that. Yeah.
And the other Alabama guys are like that, too. I mean, you know, Landon Dick. Yeah, there's just like a mystery thing, and they're taught at an early age. When they get there, don't say anything. Don't let anybody get to know you. Don't give up yourself.
Is it inauthentic? Do you feel it's problematic?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. As long as he's getting along with his teammates and communicates with them, which I think he does fine, then I don't think it's an issue. I mean, I'd love to tell a story about who he really is. As a journalist, I'd love to get to know him and share that story, but that's not going to happen.
Well, I know. I appreciate the honesty. I mean, because there's some reporters who would half-ass an answer right there, and you're saying it's hard to answer it in great detail because even you, who's around him 500 times more than we are. I mean, you've been on the beat for years. That's really interesting. All right, 215-592-9494. Amongst other things, as we assess today, are the Eagles a truly great team? And we'll break down the various aspects of the team, particularly with Ruben here with us for 2 hours. 9 o'clock today, Merrill Reese on slate of Chickies from 9 to 10. Mike Quick will join the program by phone at 845. Also, when you call in today, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Post Malone at Citizens Bank Park. This is a concert happening in May of next year, May 24th. This is when you know time's moving. We're giving away tickets for May 24th, 2025. All right? Post Malone will be in town. Tickets on sale, by the way, November 26th at noon. Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. All right, here's how you win the tickets today. In addition to making a point about the Joel nonsense or, you know, what's going on with the Eagles, we will also signify that, if you don't know, yesterday was the 20th anniversary of one of the most wild things we ever saw in sports, and that was the Malice at the Palace. So Indiana and Detroit and that enormous brawl that broke out and ended a basketball game. It was near the end of the game, but it obviously ended
a couple teams' seasons as well.
It did. ended some players' seasons. Yeah. Almost ended Ron Artest's career.
Yeah.
Obviously one of the most wild things we've ever seen in sports. Today we'll ask you at 215-592-9494, what is the most wild, what is the craziest thing you know, ever in sports? Now, let me just put this one sort of disclaimer out there. We're talking more Malice at the Palace type, not the stuff we hate, like baseball didn't have black players until Jackie Robinson. That's crazy in a stupid kind of way.
Or a player dying or something
We're not looking for something that's dark to that extent. And you know, we all get that, and we all hate that kind of stuff. We're talking more, like, let me give an example. For those of you that don't know, and those of you older enough do know, but most young people don't know, final game ever played at Connie Mack Stadium, which was the Phillies ballpark prior to the Vet. As soon as the final out happened, the final out, ninth inning, Connie Mack Stadium, last game ever played there before the Phillies moved to the Vet, the crowd rushed the field and tore it apart. Like, I'm taking home plate. I'm taking first base. I'm grabbing dirt. I'm getting this chair. Like, they tore apart the stadium. The fans tore apart the stadium, which is, by the way, why when the Phillies closed the Vet, they had security ready to go because they wanted to sell those seats or donate those seats and not have
mayhem.
Do you have
one?
Connie Mack was still in better shape than the Vet when it opened.
That's right. I'm sure it was. All right. So give us something wild in sports. John, when you think of something wild in sports, and best answer, 215-592-9494. John, what do you got?
Well, watching Mike Tyson on Friday harkened back to the craziest thing I'd ever seen.
The bite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit his ear off.
Dude, that's a great answer, man. That's a great answer. Seltzer, what do you got here?
Can you imagine if, I'll just pick two random Phillies. Let's say Zach Wheeler and Bryson Stott decided to swap families.
Yeah.
Because that actually happened with Mike Kekich and Fritz Peterson in the Yankees in the 1970s. They swap wives, they swap kids, they live the other's lives. What a crazy thing to happen.
Yeah, that's about the weirdest thing ever. What do you got as an answer here, Ray?
The craziest thing I ever saw, and Rube lived through this as well. Well, we all did. T.O., especially John. T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway.
T.O.'s a good... Rube, you were right.
I remember exactly where I was, and I remember the teammates I was with.
What did you think at the exact moment that you saw that? He's speechless.
Wow. Really. I was looking around at everyone else, and everyone else was exactly like me. Jaws were agape. I mean, there it was. He's doing sit-ups. We're all standing. It's the running backs. Yeah. We're standing in the same room. I got my Harry Potter book, my new Harry Potter book under my hand. And there's Terrell.
Crazy, man. All right, give us a big-time answer. This is for Post Malone tickets. Best answer for something wild in sports, something crazy. Whoever provides it's going to win the Post Malone tickets. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Rube here with us, fielding phone calls until 9 o'clock. Joe in Burlington right now. Joe, good morning.
Yo, guys, how are you?
Doing well, Joe.
I have a question for John. John, shoot. Yesterday, all you kept on saying there, Sirianni is a good coach because of the people that are around him. I have a question, and it's two parts. There would Andy Reid, would he be as good as he is without Spags, and would Dan Campbell be as good as he is without Ben Johnson?
Interesting.
No.
My answer on the weird thing, and then I'm going to hang up because I want to hear your answer.
Yeah, what's crazy in sports, Joe?
Would be the blackout on the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
That's a really good answer. That was the Ravens and the 49ers, and right. I think that lasted about a half hour.
It did, yeah.
Harbaugh versus Harbaugh.
Yeah, that was something. All right, John.
I'll hang up and listen, by the way. Yeah. Classic old school WIP
sure,
move.
Sure is. So, John, what do you make of his question as it relates to Andy and other coaches?
Yes, they would be worse. But Dan Campbell would be a worse coach if Ben Johnson were not his offensive coordinator this year. Their offense is what makes the Lions so spectacular. Their offense right now, if that Super Bowl were played, they would be the heavy favorite to win it all. Because Ben Johnson, he's been for 3 years now running that offense, and people have tried to pull him away to be their offensive coordinator or promote him to be their head coach or assistant head coach, all sorts of enticing lures thrown his way, but he wants to stay there and win a Super Bowl. So that's the plan.
John, I actually, it's funny, the call, I know where the caller is getting at, and you addressed it, but I actually view it a different way. It doesn't necessarily mean that the head coach would be a lesser head coach. It means he'd be a less effective head coach, record-wise. But here's the thing.
But isn't that
No, it's two different things. I mean, here's where I'll also split it further. Andy Reid, I am certain, hires his assistant coaches. We wonder if Nick Sirianni hires his assistant coaches. Ruben Frank, does Nick Sirianni, like, let's take Desai last year. You're out, Patricia, you're in. Sirianni said it was his call. Was it?
Well, you know, I think
because that call doesn't happen to Andy.
Anybody?
No one tells Andy you're changing your coach.
Anybody would want to take credit for hiring Matt Patricia, right? Well, you know, it's interesting because I think when Andy's career, you know, when his success with the Eagles started declining a little, was when all those original coaches became head coaches. You know, whether it was Harbs and Spags and all those guys. So, I mean, it's huge surrounding yourself with the right people, but. No, I don't think Nick has had the first call on those guys, and he's got a say in it. He's got a voice in it, but I think Howie and Jeffrey are making those calls.
So, you know, from that standpoint, John, that's where to the caller, you know, the pushback is the infrastructure isn't necessarily Nick's doing. Whereas with Andy, really think of it this
does
way.
Does it matter, though?
Yeah, it does. Here's why. Because Andy Reid hired Jim Johnson.
Right,
Andy
Reid identified but hold up. Does it matter if they're hiring the right guys, though? Like, Vic Fangio, all stoked he's here. Like, he's doing a great job. So does it really matter who hired Vic Fangio as long as the right hire?
Not for team success, but in my opinion, for the effectiveness of the coach as you evaluate him compared to others. Like, I view Andy Reid in a higher light.
But as long as you have someone doing the right job.
Well, I understand that.
Like, that's all that matters.
But that was John's point yesterday, that he's saying it's more about organizational infrastructure than Sirianni.
But, yeah, I get that. But at the end of the day, who cares?
No.
As long as you have the right guys in place.
No, we don't care as fans of the team. But people care, John's an example, for the evaluation of how good really is Sirianni.
No, and it is a factor because I think we all know, and Rube, you know this, Andy's effectiveness here with the Eagles went down as he lost his key assistants.
Totally.
Well, of course.
I mean, it was, yeah.
Andy
did a horrible job replacing them.
Correct.
Horrible job.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the replacements was McDermott, who he fired after 2 years.
Yeah.
But this is just about assigning blame, ultimately, or assigning credit. At the end of the day, as long as the ship functions well and they work together, it doesn't really matter.
That's what we mostly care about, obviously.
And if you don't think that was on Sean McDermott's mind the other night.
Oh, I noticed it. When he gave him that post-game handshake, I thought of it, Ruben, the whole time I thought of it.
He was replacing a legend here. He had no chance.
He canned him.
Yeah.
He canned him. And he hired somebody who was worse.
Well, way worse.
Yeah, he hired an offensive.
It was a disaster. I mean, could not have made a worse decision.
John, you remember where you were? I remember where I was when I got the phone call that Juan Castillo was. I was like, what?
I was on my way to a Villanova game. I was at Galifti's.
needed to go back.
Galifti's is a classic.
See, I thought it was so it was crazy, but maybe, just maybe, it was crazy like a fox.
Well, we all hoped that it was. Look, Andy Reid's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And so there was something to be said, maybe he's onto something.
I had to see
it.
I knew how hard Juan would work with this. And if anyone could make this happen, he could.
Look,
Juan was going to. I mean, he was talking football every second of every day to everyone who would listen in that building, out of the building. I mean, like driving to talking to the guy as the gate goes up and down as you're entering the parking lot. He loves Breeze, talks, you know. It was like if he was going to apply this thing that he loved, he was going to be able to
do it on either side of the ball.
Yeah, didn't work at
all. But it failed.
All right, so let's also get to the Sixers thing because this is a major topic. So yesterday, obviously, it's reported by Shams that, you know, the post-game meeting, what it was 2 days ago, just, well, let's listen to Shams specifically as he addresses it, as he did yesterday on ESPN. Here's Shams talking about the Embiid situation.
Last night, they had an hour and a half long team meeting in that post-game locker room in Miami. And I think a lot was said, a lot was accepted, a lot was aired out. Coaches saying we need players to practice harder, show more attention to detail. Players saying we need to be coached harder. We want to be coached harder.
Uh-oh.
But most notable of all that, Pat, I was told Tyrese Maxey, their 24-year-old young star, he challenged Joel Embiid, the face of the franchise, the former league MVP, that we need you to be on time for team activities. And saying that there's a trickle-down effect. When you are missing, when you are tardy, when you are late, for what I was told, everything was the line. It has an effect on the rest of the locker room, the rest of the players, the coaching staff.
All right, that's Shams on ESPN yesterday. Now, before we react specifically to that, I want to play some audio from 2 nights ago because after that meeting occurred, Joel Embiid addressed the meeting with the media post-game about an hour after the game in the Sixers locker room. We didn't like his answer yesterday. To me, it shines even in worse light now, given what we found out that meeting was largely about. Let's listen to Joel 2 days ago when he addressed the meeting after it had just happened.
Joe, I mean, obviously Nick goes about meeting, I guess, without going into the specifics of it. I guess, was it possible meeting with you guys?
Oh, we had a meeting? No.
Now, let me tell you this. I can understand and said yesterday, he may not have wanted to go into any detail because he was probably told, hey, guys, we're not going into detail about the meeting. And I can respect that. I don't still like the way he handled it, though.
Could have said, that stays in-house.
Right?
Everyone knows they had a meeting. Like, they were missing for an hour and a half or whatever.
It's another example of him not being being a pro.
It's an immature answer.
Immature. And here's my theory. Because I know a lot was made yesterday after the reality of Maxey challenging Embiid and calling him out came into focus. A lot of people said, well, it's not proper that this information got out. And in most instances, it wouldn't be. My theory is the information got out, whomever it came from, a player, a coach, an assistant coach,
clutch, a
team staffer, the team's PR, whomever. My theory is it made its way to Shams because the organization or someone in it recognized Joel didn't get the message.
No.
And they're trying to publicly shame him and put it out there to the world so it's another attempt to get through to Joel Embiid. Does that theory ring true to you, Gus?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. I believe that must be what happened.
Because otherwise the information, John, should never get out.
Or should never get out. I mean, or it's Tyrese Maxey and Clutch saying Joel didn't listen. One way or another.
But I don't think Maxey would do that.
I think Clutch would do that.
Clutch might, but I'll tell you this.
Especially with Clutch and Embiid have battled in the
past.
But
if Clutch did it without Maxey's approval,
I
would be irate.
They might have said, hey, Tyrese, we want to put this out there.
Well, then that's Tyrese authorizing.
Either way, I do think it's someone in the organization, player or coach, saying he didn't listen. We need this.
There's been no clapback from the team on this.
Zero.
Which, so, you know, to me, you know, anybody who thinks that that's the number one issue with what happened with that meeting is ridiculous.
No question.
The issue is Tyrese is a guy. I remember Doc Rivers saying it was the day after the season end again in a playoff loss. And Maxey was like in the gym at 5 a.m. He threw him out of the gym and said, you need to go take a couple days off. This guy understands he's made himself from what people didn't think would be a great pro to a guy who just earned a massive contract.
Totally.
And he's watching a guy who has all of the natural ability in the world, zero work ethic, can't even show up. I have no respect for people who don't show up on time.
Yeah.
It is something that bothers me to no end, and it's what you control.
I totally
you
agree.
You control being on time.
I totally agree. Look, it's a disgrace. We'll take your thoughts, your phone calls on this massive topic in Philadelphia sports. I mean, one of the things that hit me yesterday is I feel like yesterday might have signified the beginning of the end of Embiid in Philly. Whether it's in a month, whether it's after this season, it just... Now, look, there's an argument they keep him in part because when healthy, he's one of the best players, and also in part to try to get the him and Paul George and Maxey thing going, and also in part because they're trying to build an arena. And it may be a lot harder to convince the populace to do so if you have, you know, three first-round draft picks instead of Joel Embiid. So there's a lot of arguments both ways. But at least to today's Twitter poll questions of the day, both of which are brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox that sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive Armin Chevrolet. First poll question, do you think the 76ers should try to trade Joel Embiid immediately? Yes or no? I have no doubt that this answer will be more yes than no at a higher level than it ever would have been during Joel's tenure here. I mean, I think yesterday might have finally tipped people to the yes category, certainly more than it had been, maybe above 50%. Second poll question, do you think this will be Joel Embiid's last season with the Sixers? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter, and certainly you can weigh in on the phone lines on all this, as we are also discussing the Eagles, you know, halfway through, what we hope is halfway through the year. Because if they get to the Super Bowl courtesy of a bye in the playoffs, they'll play 20 total games this year, and the 10 games they played would be the halfway, and that's why we feel justified from Chickies and Pete's this morning calling this Birds at the half. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to LeVert right now on Erie Avenue.
Oh, great.
LeVert.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
Nothing, man. It's a great morning besides the Embiid fiasco.
Yeah.
Which, that information should have probably never got out, but it's good that it did.
Because well, that might be, but LeVert, that's probably why it did. That's my theory. That's why it got out, because they wanted to further get to him.
Tyrese is keeping it real, though, and that's awesome. That's awesome to know that he's like that.
Yeah, well, if anybody could say it, it was Tyrese.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got on the Eagles, LeVert?
Okay, the Eagles, Jalen, man. He is the man on and off the field. Thank you to Jalen is going out and giving air conditioners to the public.
Yeah, it's
to
good work.
The schools. That's a great thing, man.
It's a tremendous
thing. He's a great
guy. Yeah, it's a really good thing.
My hero.
I love it. LeVert, give me an answer. What's wild in sports? Like the malice at the palace. What was wild?
I thought you just said it, man. Come on. Why'd you do that to me?
It's based on it.
Yeah, because I referenced it.
It was the whole reason we did it.
All right. I'll write it down. He wants that answer. It's already been said. But
can't win.
It was the 20th anniversary yesterday, and that's what spurred this conversation. Let's get to Bryce in Wilmington. Bryce, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Bryce.
Yeah, so I wanted to hop in on the Eagles talk. I'm kind of with you, Joe, where I think they're, like, right under the great mark just because, like you said, they just seem to start so slow. Like, I texted my buddy the other day, And it's just like it just seems like we can never win a game like the Lions do. Like, we beat the Bengals pretty good and the Cowboys and all, but it always seems like it happens late. And it's like you're worrying for three quarters of the game and then they turn it on.
Look, here's the thing I'll say, Bryce, on the flip side. They have a tremendous knack of figuring it out in game and having players that are mentally composed to not lose their head in the midst of struggles. And there's something to be said for gutting out wins.
Resilient.
Which, yeah, I mean, they're phenomenal at that. But, Bryce, to your point, it's just, I'll say this, hard to imagine they go the distance this year doing it that way. Not impossible. Not impossible.
Now, to be fair, I mean,
tough.
I know it happens late, but to Bryce mentioned, but they have blown some teams out. Like, it's not like you look at like the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs, every single
it's
game
all been
they
in the
played
second
is
half,
close.
I mean,
it has been, but they've still won games by 20 plus points.
They have, teams. Against good teams, well, I just don't think that formula is going to work.
I agree, Rube.
They should have been up 33-10 on Washington in the fourth quarter if Jake Elliott makes his kicks.
No,
33-10. I know they weren't, but Jake Elliott, like,
no, I trust Elliott. I get your point there. But I also will tell you this, James. I'm still not convinced Washington's really
I don't think they're
good.
great, but the point is you can only beat the teams you face.
Though.
I think they're pretty good.
I think the Buccaneers are pretty good, and
the game I'm looking forward to is the Ravens game. It's not even the Rams game. It's the Ravens game. It's in a couple weeks. They are either a heavyweight or a borderline heavyweight, and we'll see what the Eagles have. Bryce, give me an answer here for what was wild in sports.
Well, real quick, one more thing. As far as the NFC, the good thing in our favor, I think, is there's really only one or two teams that I think could give us trouble, and it's the Lions. And for some reason, it's the Packers for me. I don't know. But with those early game struggles against a team like the Lions, that just won't get it done because they're going to keep putting points up if we
well
can.
Not unless the Eagles defense is so legit that they hold the Lions down. I mean, that's the other part of this formula of the offense starting slow. That typically, like, the Eagles are never behind by 14 points because the defense never permits it. So, you know, maybe the defense can hang in there against the Lions if the offense starts slow, but that's a harder challenge.
Turnovers change everything. Turnovers can be
real. Also, I don't think they'll get the one seed, but the one seed is actually pretty important outside of the bye.
It's very important.
Outside of the bye, in that Jared Goff is a very different quarterback outdoors in the cold than he is in a dome. Very different.
That makes sense. Bryce, an answer for what was wild in sports.
How about the earthquake that happened at the World Series?
Oh, wow, yeah. That could win. That's a big one. Earthquake 89.
Great answer.
They're in the middle talking, and the broadcast just went black.
I'll never forget it. Yeah.
What an incredible answer that is. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, I want to express my thanks to the Otho Davis Scholarship Foundation for asking me last night to be the MC of their banquet. It was a tremendous evening. As we honored Jim Gardner, we honored the 2017 Eagles. Nick Foles was in town. It really was a very, very, very special night, and I was thrilled to be a part of it. And I want to thank the foundation for asking me.
Well, you
got to
give us more than that.
A great cause.
Yeah, you got to give us more than that. I mean, you said the whole Philly Special crew was going to be there. You know, you said Jim Gardner's freaking there. Like, give us a story or two.
All right. First off, Jim Gardner's speech was exceptional.
That's awesome.
And he largely began it first minute or two. His reverence for Dick Vermeil, and I was seated right between them. So Jim Gardner was right to my right while I was speaking, and Dick Vermeil was two over for me on the dais. And I'm looking at Jim Gardner, looking at Dick Vermeil with such admiration, and he began by saying, obviously in my 40 years here, 40 plus years, I've met, you know, just about all the notable players, politicians, you know, coaches, business leaders. He said, the person I most wanted to meet that I had never met, Dick, was you, Dick Vermeil.
Wow.
And so he expressed his appreciation for the moment.
Wow.
It was really something. It was powerful. There was so much, James. I mean, Foles being back in town, obviously. Corey Clement. So there was a sequence for about 15 minutes. The four that were involved in the Philly special, not those that blocked, but the four that touched the ball. It went from Kelsey to Corey Clement to Trey Burton to Nick Foles. Those four at one point were on stage for about 15 minutes, broke down every nuance of the play.
Wow, that's so cool.
They broke it all down.
Wow.
You know, how it came into being, the whole – I mean, it was amazing. By the way, it was funny. Foles was giving Kelsey a hard time for his snaps. If you guys remember, Kelsey, here's what Foles said. Best center ever, worst snapper ever.
Oh, yeah, he's right? Adventurous.
Rube, his snaps were like – They were like Mitch Williams in October of 93.
They were an adventure.
You didn't know where it was going.
Out of nowhere, too. It'd be like fine, and then all of a sudden, like, it'd be like way over there.
But it was cool. And again, you know what the other thing is? I mean, there's a lot I could say, but the turnout from former Eagles was notable. So, for instance, Harold Carmichael, who's right there on the board of the Otho Davis Foundation. You know, Ike was there, always there to support it. Freddie Mitchell was there last night. You know, from the 80 team, Keith Kreffley, who caught the first touchdown the Eagles ever had in a Super Bowl. Seth Joyner was there last night. Jaws was there. Randy Logan, Mike Quick. I mean, I go on and on. Kelsey was there. Avant was there. Brian Westbrook, Connor Barwin. I mean, this was an overflowing. Jim Murray, the 80 Eagles general manager. Malcolm Jenkins was there last night. On and on and on and on and on I could go. It was a special evening. If you ever get a chance in a future year, I would very much, especially you, John. God, John, everybody asks for you. They always ask for, where's John? Mm. So next year, think about it. By the way, tomorrow on the show, of course, Kelsey at 7:30, but overlapping with Jason, and then thereafter, 8 o'clock in studio with us, Corey Clement.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
And he is a very personable, dude. It was a thrill for me to meet him last night. So tomorrow, Corey Clement in studio with us, starting at 8 o'clock, and we'll have a great time with him.
Wow.
What a running back room that was, Ruben. Clement, Jay Ajayi, Sproles before he got injured, and, of course, LeGarrette Blount. What a group.
Don't forget Wendell Smallwood. And
that
group had 272 scrimmage yards, the running backs in the Super Bowl. And they don't win that game without that group.
It was an amazing.
They don't get to that game.
And Corey is an undrafted free agent. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons how he deserves credit. And, of course, that might have been Joe Douglas, who knows, who first identified him. But they identified him to Corey's credit. He had a great training camp that made a not easy to make team.
No, you
not
remember
easy
the
to make
role
that,
that he grew into. That's a very advanced role.
Third downs.
To be that back, the third down back, that means that you're tied into all those protections, all those third down protection schemes. They're placing all that faith in you.
And he didn't catch a lot of passes during the season. I mean, that game was an anomaly in his career. And he had two of the biggest plays in that game.
Oh,
I mean, the touchdown we talk about, but without that long
50-yard catch,
55-yard catch and run, there's no Philly special.
You know what he also
that was wide receiver-like skill.
It was.
Catching that touchdown. That was a wide receiver touchdown catch by a rookie running back.
A rookie undrafted.
Undrafted. It really is.
And he never had another catch over like 18 yards.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In his life.
You know how much harder it is.
Thing, you know?
Guys, it is so much harder to catch a ball that's, I don't know, 40 yards downfield than it is 10 yards downfield.
But you got to track
it. And all he practices is the 10-yard variety. You're a running back. That's all you practice. If you've ever caught a ball like that touchdown he caught in the end zone in the Super Bowl,
sure.
It's maybe 1 out of 1,000 chances, 1 out of 1,000
and
reps.
It was so close to him not having possession.
Oh man,
yeah. It was right on the
so
edge.
So unlikely.
What, by the way, what a throw too. I mean, Foles
totally, yes.
Right in the box.
Totally.
Yep.
All right, it's a great
Filed
stuff with those
on.
Guys last night. Tomorrow, Corey Clement, who we've never had on the show,
great guy,
will be. Yeah, he really. I mean, my interactions with him over about 10 minutes last night seemed like a wonderful person. So Corey in studio with us tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock. He'll be fielding phone calls. And we'll have a blast with Corey Clement in studio. 215-592-9494. We broadcast today from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Our home base is a radio station up through 7 o'clock with the shows tonight. 8 o'clock when you extend it for the extra hour of celebrity bartending, which goes from 6 to 8. So join us tonight for that celebrity bartending, 6 to 8, and join Lane Johnson and Jordan Mulatto, who will be here as they donate their time all to help support the cause of benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Let's talk to Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. How is everyone?
Doing well, Mike.
Doing great, buddy.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Joe, I'm going to start to call you, get with the program, Joe, because I got two problems with you this morning.
Why do you got a problem with me?
Because you know what, Joe? I mean, the whole world sees it. Again, I wanted to talk birds, but you know, I got to come back to this Embiid thing. The guy that doesn't even like basketball, I got to come back to this. The whole world sees that this guy is just an anchor. Not a good anchor. This guy just brings this franchise to the bottom. He's got no accountability. You know, God bless Max.
Mike, let me just say this. For those
Joe, why are you
in,
defending Embiid?
Yeah, I'm not defending Embiid. I'm not defending Embiid. I am of the mindset, however, to try to hopefully get him healthy in the next 2 weeks and see what these guys can do together if he's healthy.
He's
Mike, hang on. I totally acknowledge that they will probably not win a championship with Joel Embiid. I want to state that right now, and I've said that for the last year or two. They probably won't, but I'm not ready to throw in the towel at this exact moment. I'm not, and part of it, Mike, is I still think they'll get a bigger haul than James and Rhea think they'll get when they trade him. I do. Now, I know it's getting slippery slope here because of the injury. I do not deny that. And it might be that they miss out on five first-round picks and three pick swaps, and it turns into 2-2. I acknowledge that possibility. But I know James Harden was a bum here. They got two first-round picks for him. Mikal Bridges is a good player, not a truly great one. The Knicks gave up five first-round draft picks for Mikal Bridges. So if the Sixers rehabilitate Embiid and get him healthy and then trade him, I still think they'll get a minimum of four first-round draft picks and three swaps.
But, Joe, don't you think the word's out on him around the league?
Of course it is.
Matter what you heard from people at the Olympics, there were also people at the Olympics who didn't think he'd try hard. Now you have the preeminent reporter who gets the story with Maxi, who's very respected.
I get it.
Saying he's not showing up on time. The guy didn't show up. I don't want to hear about the injury. He's not in shape. Okay?
Clearly.
So you have a guy who can't be bothered to show up on time, be in shape, and be available. I mean, it's, you know.
I know.
You think you're going to get a haul for that guy?
I do. Oof. I do think they will. But Mike, go ahead.
No, you're going to get – listen, you should change his name. You should start to call him Joel Maybe, because that's all he is. He's a maybe. Everything is couched with
Mike, we got like 10 different Embiid's conversation here.
It's more like probably not.
Just know this. You couldn't be more of a zero than Ben Simmons. They got James Harden.
Well, there's a high bar.
But you get the point, like – believe me, I am incredibly aggravated and disgusted. I just reject the notion that they will get very little for him whenever they trade him. I think they will get more than you guys are thinking. That's what
addition
I'm saying.
Addition by subtraction.
The
right
thing
here.
About it, you know, it's not like he has a knee injury. I mean, he just has bad knees, and I don't know if they're ever going to get. I mean, they're not going to get better.
Well,
he's not going to get better.
No. He probably won't.
He's always going to have bad knees. He's always going to miss games. It's not like he's got, you know, a little injury. It's going to get better.
He's never going to take care of himself. He's never going to work out. Yeah. He's never like he's just 31. He's never.
Mike, give me an answer here. What was wild in sports? Give me the best answer ever. What was wild?
1979, the White Sox, the Detroit Lions, and the only community park was Disco Demolition.
That is a great answer. John, what's your answer on the Embiid thing? You hear the tug of war going on here at this table. Where do you stand on all that? Beyond just the disgust, like what to actually do if you're the Sixers. What do you do, John?
I think the bottom line, what we've all come to feel in the pit of our stomachs, the truth, is that he's not the crowning achievement of success, the cherry on the top of the process.
Clearly
that
not.
We thought was that would be the, you know, the
well,
next
and also
logical
that's required.
Step
see, one
toward
thing that,
the championship that we all thought was right at the doorstep.
Here's one thing
that championship is much farther than we thought.
Yeah.
And because we know that he can't do this physically. And we're aware of that now.
You ready to trade him?
I am. And I am willing to take whatever that nets us. The youth movement, I love Tyrese. I love McCain. I worry about their overlap. But, hey, let's just have a positive outlook and attitude and work hard as a group and see where that gets us.
Yeah, look, it's to be considered. I mean, I totally get it. And maybe by the end of the show, we'll find out more than 50% of people want to trade him. I get it, guys. I'm not ignorant to the realities of why people make the points they do.
Not fun to watch.
I totally get that.
I consider it homework watching them because I got to watch them for this show.
But I will say, I think Shiel is underrating how not fun to watch Maxi and
McCain
will be. Like last year without Joel, they were
whatever. Oh no, they were still terrible.
They couldn't win.
But
and this year without whomever, they couldn't win with the new guy. If they don't have Joel Embiid playing and playing well, they're probably a 25-win team.
Let's not act like that's fun. No, I don't disagree with you.
No, but then you go for Cooper Flagg, and then,
I know, but they might not be bad enough for that chance.
What I was about to say is I sat down last night and watched the Celtics and the Cavs game.
Yep.
And I mean, and the Celtics went off at the end of the second quarter with like a million threes. And the Cavs, but I was watching enjoyable basketball.
I understand.
It was like, I was like, oh, I kind of forgot what this was like.
I guess my point is, if you trade Joel to get back to be a top two team in the East, which those two teams are, it might take you 6 years. It might take you 10 years. Like, my point is,
it shouldn't take you that long.
It should take a long time.
It should not. It's other, very hard. Other teams have done it quicker.
Yeah, but it often takes 4 to 8 years.
Needs a better general manager than we have.
Probably true.
You're not going to get there. McCain, though, for what it's worth.
Yeah,
talking
with
about McCain and stuff. And I don't. I'm not. Daryl Morey needs to be here and show up and stuff. But he did draft Jerry McCain.
That's
looks
the
like
thing.
An
you need
draft
to
right
find. You
but
need
he's
to
not
find
an adult champ.
No, you know it.
He's a disgrace for not speaking.
It's bad. But his moves have not been.
Well, some have been. I mean, it looks like the bench you put together, other than McCain's, a disaster.
But a guy like McCain is what you need. You need to hit on guys like that, find unlikely stars. He's going to be an unlikely star.
Maybe.
Capitalize.
I'll give him a maybe.
That.
All right, 215-592-9494. So you can weigh in on the Sixers. Also, a reminder, your chance today to win Post Malone tickets. We're looking for what was wild in sports on this, the 20th anniversary week of that Malice at the Palace big brawl back in 2004. And, of course, our main thing today, it's the Birds at the Half. 10 games into the season. We hope it's a 20-game season all the way to the Super Bowl. We hope they get the bye. And, you know, 8-2 is a great record. So Ruben Frank with us and will be for another hour. 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today away from the Tasty Cake studio. We're at Chickies and Pete's. We love being here. It always signifies a special show.